T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our good friend Antoine Staley covers the Dolphins for USA Today's Dolphins Wire. Does a great job there. Also covers the Canes for Athlon Sports. Antoine joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Antoine, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing all right, Donald. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And what Antoine, do you think the mission is for the Dolphins in the second preseason game? Obviously, we know the third preseason game, that's the dress rehearsal. But how long you think we'll see the offensive starters? And what do you think Adam Gase wants his team to accomplish on Friday?
Well, I think you'll see the starters quite a bit in the first quarter. We saw them for the first series. Well, the offense, for that matter. I think we'll see them probably for at least for half of the first quarter, and they want to get some rhythm going offensively. I know they got down, and Tannehill did a good job his first and only drive there on last Thursday night, but they want to, of course, they want to score some points to get in the end zone. So, yeah, I expect them to have a few series, maybe three, possibly four, depending on how the game goes, and play a substantial amount of the first quarter.
You know, earlier this week, I couldn't believe this became such a big national topic. Ryan Tannehill kicking Kalen Ballage out of the huddle in practice and chewing him out on the sideline as well. What was your take on that situation, Antoine? And do you feel that that's something that as the starting quarterback of an NFL team, Ryan Tannehill is entitled to do?
I mean, it's a situation where people have to understand. I understand why it's a national story, because the Dolphins don't really get talked about a lot, and a lot of people feel like Tannehill hasn't done a whole lot in his career. And you know, to be honest with you, yeah, I mean, he's had a pedestrian average type of career up to this point, but you have to look at it from his standpoint. He's coming off these two knee injuries, and he's come. Charles Harris just came, just blindsided. I could have just blindsided him. And just if that was in a real game, it could have possibly ended his season again. So he's just trying to teach a moment for Kalen Ballage. He probably wishes he could have done it a little differently, especially with all the buildup and the way he blew up. But the fact of the matter is, he wanted to have a teaching moment with Ballage and let him know that you can't do that, especially when the regular season comes, because I'm going to get killed if you don't. Block this guy. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit overblown, but at the same time, I understand it from why it probably was, because the national perspective feels a lot differently than the Miami Dolphins than locally they do.
Sticking with running backs here, you wrote a piece on this week at Dolphins Wire. What was the conversation about that Adam Gase had with Kenyon Drake? Something about his behavior. What went on there?
Well, it's just something about he just needs to keep his temper in check. If you remember, going back to the regular season last year against Buffalo, him and Jarvis Landry, who of course was on the team at the time, ended up getting ejected for that game. And this offseason, Adam Gase was talking about stressing that Kenyon Drake has changed. Drake feels like he's changed as much as a man. And I understand the way Gabe Wright, who ended up getting cut, ended up hitting him.
Right.
It was a bit of a cheap shot, but yeah, just Adam Gase just wants to try to keep that temper in check, because they need him. They need him. They need his production this year. They can't afford to lose him. And we saw our Dolphins offense without him against the Bills last year, and he was really the only running back that really had to Norris Perry, but Perry is not necessarily a starting NFL running back. So they really need Kenyon Drake to be successful this year, and that's the message Adam Gase was trying to convey to him.
Adam Gase was complimentary this week about the rookie class so far. What have you seen from the rookies, especially focusing on, you know, the top three guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, Mike Gesicki, and Jerome Baker? And I especially look at Jerome Baker, how badly the Dolphins in recent years have needed help at linebacker. What have been your impressions on these players?
Oh, I thought they performed really well, especially on Thursday night. I think Minkah made some big hits, knocking the ball loose, and the Dolphins thought he did a good job, so much so that they inserted him in their starting lineup, put him at nickel corner, and ended up moving Bobby McCain over to the outside boundary cornerback position opposite Xavier Howard, because they hadn't been able to get the production that they wanted to. Neither Torrey McTyer or Kadarius Tankersley has won the starting job, has really done anything to keep that job, and Tony Lippett has been hurt. So they feel like this is the best lineup they have, and that Matt Burke feels like they're going to get the best 11 man on the field and defensively. And I feel like this is the best lineup for them, especially in the secondary.
We are joined by Antoine Staley, covering the Miami Dolphins for USA Today's Dolphins Wire. He also covers Canes football for Athlon Sports. I do want to get into some Canes here in a moment. But, you know, Antoine, what are your expectations this year for Frank Gore? I'm very curious about that because, I mean, to me, as a longtime Canes fan, even followed Frank Gore when he was in high school because it was impossible to avoid the hype for that guy coming out of Coral Gables. At age 35, what do you think is his upside now as a Dolphin?
I mean, I think he's going to be productive. I don't expect him to get over 1,000 yards. I mean, he probably could if they needed him to, but the fact of the matter is they have Kenyon Drake there, and they're going to lose a little bit of Caleb Ballard. So they don't need Frank Gore. They don't need to run down Frank Gore. Like that, they don't need him to even get 900 yards. I think a set double season, maybe 700, possibly 800 yards rushing, because Adam Gates likes to interchange his running backs. He don't necessarily believe in having one bell cow running back. Yeah, J.J. Had the marvelous lead 2016, but that's not traditionally how Adam Gates would want to run his offense. He wants to try to change out running backs, but in that year, he just kind of rolled with the right with the hot hand, and it ended up helping them guide them to the playoffs.
You know, going on to a player who's no longer a Miami Dolphin, Jarvis Landry is clearly still in the honeymoon phase with the Cleveland Browns. Like, he cannot stop talking up the Cleveland Browns and throwing little pot shots at the Dolphins. He's ranting and raving about how the coaching staff is giving him so many more routes to run in Cleveland. He was so limited in Miami. Do you think there was any validity to that, Antoine? Was it the Dolphins pigeonholing him as a slot receiver, or do you think maybe he's just looking for any excuse to take shots at Miami?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the Browns are exploring options with him, letting him run out, be on the outside. But I also think that, yeah, he's petty. He wants to take shots at the Dolphins because he felt like they were cheap and didn't want to pay him the money that he owed. But the fact that they didn't have the money, I don't understand what Landry is so angry about. It's not that the Dolphins didn't want him. They really wanted to keep him. And we've talked to Adam Gase about this, but they just didn't have the capital to do so. Remember, they had to let go of Ndamukong Suh just so they could have money to sign free agents this offseason. Other than that, they were strapped for cash and wouldn't have been able to do anything. They wouldn't have been able to sign Amendola or Albert Wilson or make some of the moves that they had because they just simply did not have the money. And it wasn't warranted as spending $14 million a year on Jarvis Landry, no matter how good he is, because at the end of the day, there was still a 6-10 team with him. So they felt like losing him, they wouldn't be that much worse off.
I don't know if you make official predictions for Dolphins Wire every year, but have you made your prediction yet on the win-loss record this year?
I have not, but I will shortly. I'll probably do that after the third preseason game. I'll do it kind of leading up to the season, but I already have in mind kind of what I'm thinking record-wise for the Dolphins.
What about Canes football? Do you have a predicted record there?
Yeah, I did one for Athlon Sports. I guess you might have missed that.
You know what? I think I did see it, actually, and I think tell me that record again, because I remember seeing it. I said, I thought Antoine was my boy, but he's dogging my Canes.
I had him 10-2.
Oh, you did? Okay, I'm sorry. I think I may have confused you for someone else on Athlon. So, okay, so 10 wins, I can give you that. 10 wins is reasonable.
I think all of us had 10 wins.
It's really?
It's a matter of what we had as far as who they're losing to.
That was what it was. Do you have them losing to Florida State?
Yes.
That was what I was angry about. How dare you?
Okay. Does it matter if they're 10-2? Does it really matter who they lose to?
I don't know, man. I think I'd rather lose like to Pitt and Virginia than lose to Florida State.
Okay, I guess I should have had to lose to Boston College, which is possible. It's possible. I mean, they got a really good team, and AJ Dillon is, I think, to be the ACC Player of the Year, and that's a Friday night game in Chestnut Hills. So that's not going to be an easy game by any means.
How much do you think it might harm this team, knowing that, okay, this is not necessarily a great player who got injured, but it's also not a very deep position? Losing Michael Irvin II for an extended period of time, yeah, you've got unbelievable, on paper, true freshmen coming in Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory, and Brian Pelende is there. I'm not sure what he's going to do for this team, but how damaging could the Irvin injury be?
It's really significant, because now you're relying on very young guys with experience and playing you're not starting out with Savannah State. You're starting out with a quality opponent and LSU, despite the fact that whoever LSU, they had a lot of losses, but they're still an SEC quality opponent. So it's huge. It's definitely going to be big in that first game. It's going to limit what the targets Malik Rozier has. So I think it is significant. And also you're asking your tight ends to pick up for protection. I think tight ends, to be honest with you, is one of the biggest adjustments from high school to college, or even college to the NFL, because you're learning so much once you get into the program or once you get in the league. We saw that with Mike Gesicki too, from college to the NFL. It's so difficult to pick that up right away. He's just now learning how to become an NFL tight end, but it takes time. It's not a position where you usually see freshmen or rookies have that much success.
Let me give you a few names of the guys that I think will be the most impactful. Well, I can probably give you maybe four or five names on what could be the most impactful true freshman on that team this year, and tell me which one you think is going to have the best season. And maybe you'll throw in somebody I hadn't even thought of. But I think about Greg Rousseau at defensive end. I'll throw in Lorenzo Lingard at running back, although very deep rotation there, as we know. Mark Pope at wide receiver, also a pretty deep receiving core. And I guess I can also throw in Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory at tight end. Which of those guys do you think is going to have the biggest year as a true freshman?
I like Mallory. I really do. I think he's, especially considering what happened to Irvin, I think he could have a potential big year. I won't say big year, but I think he'd have a significant impact on that offense. So if I had to pick out of the names that you said, I would definitely, that's probably who I would go with there.
Well, I enjoy talking to you, as always, my friend. Antoine V. Staley, that's where you follow him on Twitter. Make sure you check him out at Antoine Staley for coverage on the Miami Dolphins, for Dolphins Wire at USA Today, and Canes football coverage for Athlon Sports. Even though he's got Miami losing to Florida State, I still love him.
I appreciate that. Maybe the Canes can prove me wrong, but, yeah, I still have them having a pretty good year, so thank you for having me on.
And, of course, make sure you're following Antoine on Twitter, especially during the Carolina preseason game this Friday. He's going to have some great tweets during that.
Yeah, I will be there. So, yeah, please follow me, too.
Yeah, and you are a Carolina native, right?
Yes, I'm from Charlotte, so, yeah, I will definitely be there. I'm actually there right now.
Where does someone get the best barbecue in Charlotte?
Queen City Barbecue, which is downtown Charlotte. So that, I think that's probably the best place you can go. It's other places, but that's my favorite.
I'm going to keep that in mind, man, if I'm ever in town. Thank you so much, as always, man.
They should invite you for the ACC Championship, because, yeah, I'm going to go this year for game making. So they definitely should come. If you do come, then I will definitely take you out there for some barbecue.
I love it. Let's mark that down. Enjoy the rest of your week, my friend.
All right, then. Talk to you soon, Donald.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.